Today in the gospel, Jesus tells a parable to the religious leaders of his time. It is about two sons, one who says yes to his father, but then does no, and the other who said no to his father, but then repents and goes out and does what his father asked him to do. The religious leaders of Jesus' time were like the son that was saying yes to God, but then not doing the will of God. The question for us this weekend is, which of the two sons are we? Which do we relate to? But to understand this gospel, we have to put it in the context of what was happening in Jesus' life at that time. Jesus had just made his triumphant entry in Jerusalem, and then he went and purged the temple of tax collectors and those selling animals. There's a lot of tension between Jesus and the religious leaders when this happens. This is followed by the Last Supper, Jesus' arrest, trial, and execution on the cross. You can see how much tension there was in the air between Jesus and these religious leaders. The religious leaders were refusing to accept Jesus' authority. They were rejecting him. And his authority came from God, so they were rejecting God. But Jesus is trying to give them a chance for conversion, a chance to repent and change. So Jesus asked the question very carefully. Because in Jesus' time, the most important thing was honoring your parent. So when he asked the question, which did the father's will? If he had asked it differently, they would have changed their answer. Because the one that said yes, but didn't follow through, was the one that the people at that time would have considered as honoring the father. And the one who publicly said no, but then went out and did the work, would have been considered as dishonoring the father. And so Jesus is very careful about asking who did the father's will. Because these religious leaders were like the son that said yes. They were always out saying all kinds of great things about God and honoring God and going to worship. But in their lives and how they acted, they were saying no. Jesus was trying to give them that chance to repent. The question for us is, which are we? Which of those sons? And as I was reflecting on that, I thought, well, shouldn't there have been four sons? Shouldn't there have been a son that said no, and then still didn't do the father's will? We all kind of have pictures in our mind of people who fit into that category, don't we? But what about the category of that said yes and did yes? Maybe that's us, right? But the reality is, we're all human. We all make mistakes. There's points in our life when we say yes to God, but then do not do his will. But we all kind of fall into that category at some point. Maybe different degrees, but we all fall into that. And we all know probably someone who appears on the surface to say no to God. They never go to religious services of any kind, but yet, in general, they're good people. When I think of that, I think of my grandfather. He was baptized Lutheran, but he would only go to church with my Catholic grandma on Easter and Christmas. Every other Sunday was either golfing, fishing, or hunting. He never went to church other than those 2 days. But he was still a good man. When I was 6 years old, my mom passed away, and he became my legal guardian and the legal guardian of my two older brothers who were 2 and 3 years older than I. And can you imagine at the age of 59, welcoming 3 young boys into your house? They had been empty nesters for at least 6 years. And here they were accepting 3 young boys. He loved us. He cared for us. He sent us to Catholic school. And whenever we'd go on vacation, no matter where we went, he always made sure we got to Sunday Mass. He would drive us there, whether it was in Utah, California, Minnesota, wherever we were, he would take us to Mass because he knew it was that important for our Catholic faith to go to Mass. He would never go in with us. He would either wait outside or go do an errand and come back and pick us up after Mass. But he was a very loving, kind man. But a month before he passed away, I went to visit him in Iowa, and he was in the hospital. And he said, I saw a bright light. I was thinking that God is merciful. Maybe he didn't honor God by going to Mass, but he honored God by his life. And with a merciful God, my hope is that he is in heaven with God. Jesus' point in this gospel is that we all make mistakes. There's times we all who do not follow the will of God. The gospel is about calling all of us to repentance and conversion. At this point in time in the country, I think we need conversion. A conversion away from racism. Racism is out in the world. We have to remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, the Father's will is that we should love one another as ourselves. In the second reading, we hear from St. Paul that we should humbly regard others as more important than us. Racism is totally against God's will. And whenever we give in to racism, we are going against the will of God. We may not think of ourselves as racist, but it can still creep out in us. When I was listening to the news reports from Kenosha, and I heard about the police waving and giving thumbs up and encouraging white men walking down the streets with assault rifles and other rifles, and I heard a story about the police arresting somebody who had stopped at a gas station because they were black, African American, I wondered to myself, if a group of African Americans had been walking down that same street with assault rifles and weapons, would the police have just waved at them, thumbs up, good job, and drove away? I doubt it. I don't remember hearing any reports of the police arresting any white people who bought gas. Sometimes it's an appearance that the color of his skin is affecting how people are treating each other. And so I reflected on my own life. How has racism impacted me? I grew up in a small city in western Iowa. The county was over 99% white. And in my Catholic high school class of 120, there was two Hispanics and one Asian girl. But I remember just treating them no differently than if they had been Italian or Irish or German. It was more like a nationality, not something that defined who they were. Their actions defined that. Nothing else. I also remember in high school, there was one summer I worked on a youth program that did conservation work in parks. And the rest of the crew were all from the public high school. I was the only one from the Catholic high school. And on that crew were two African-American young men. They were very nice. They worked very hard. They were kind of a little bit quiet and stayed off by themselves. Nice guys. But I also remember as a small child gathering with neighbor children, playing hide and seek and selecting who would be it and saying a rhyme that contained a racist word. We didn't understand it as little children. As we grew up, we changed the word, but it was there. Cartoons, TV shows, movies all had racist element and impacted us. I remember the Chicago race riots, and they were a little bit more personal to me because one of my uncles was a Chicago policeman. And in the precinct he worked in, it was half burnt down during the race riots in 68. And I remember as a small child going to visit him and my aunt and seeing the riot gear in the living room. I don't remember him ever saying any racist statements, but I do remember going out to restaurants and we get to a certain part of town and he'd say, make sure your car doors are locked. This is a dangerous area. And people at stoplights will run up to the car and jump in and rob you. And it seemed like those areas were maybe a little more African-American than others. I also remember when I went to college and fellow students in grad school, they were from Nigeria, China, Japan, Egypt, Colombia, Iran, all good people that I studied work and worked with. The man from Iran was a little bit different though. It was right after the Iranian Revolution. And so he was very adamant about down with the Shah and pro-Iranian revolution and anti-American. It could be a little tough to take. But one day, I was sitting in a classroom and he was in there also, and we were alone, and he turned to me and said, you know, when I go back to Iran, most likely I will be killed. The same people that he was outing off in support of, he believed would kill him when he got back to Iran. It helped me understand why he said what he was saying. He was afraid that the other Iranian students would report him if he didn't say those things. We fight racism when we get to know people from around the world, when we get to know people personally that are a little different from us. I'm very happy that we are blessed by having so many missionary priests with us so that we get to know people from around the world, from different cultures, and it can help battle those demons inside of us that we picked up growing up in our culture. We are called, our society is called conversion, to repentance, and to eliminate racism, and to follow God's will of loving one another. In the gospel today, Jesus is calling us all to conversion. is calling us to all to repentance for those times in our life we do not follow God's will. He tells us that loving our neighbor as ourself is part of the will of God. And so we have to battle racism in our society. We have to open ourselves up to people from all over the world with mercy and compassion and love. Are we ready for that conversion in all areas of our life? Are we willing to love our neighbor as ourselves and to do God's will?